More businesses are reopening, and some people who were laid off or working from home are heading back to their workplaces. And that means that for some parents, it's time to think about sending kids back to childcare. But that can be scary. With the coronavirus still very much present, it can be hard to know what questions to ask of providers, let alone how to talk to kids about why things are different now. Our guests are Jessica Bowden and Dr. Dipesh Navsaria. Jessica Bowden is a certification specialist and early childhood technical consultant at the nonprofit 4C, Coordinated Community Childcare in Madison. She has a bachelor's in early childhood education and worked as a childcare director for 2 years. Jessica, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Certainly. And Dr. Dipesh Navsaria is an associate professor of pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also president of the Wisconsin chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Navsaria, good to have you back with us.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Dr. Navsaria, let's start with a medical clarification. There's been some indication, some ideas out there that it seems to say that children are less likely to get COVID-19 or less likely to suffer from it. What's true here?
Yeah, this can be very confusing. So the best information that we have seems to indicate that children seem to be less likely to spread it amongst the community. They probably can be infected by it at the same rates as everyone else, but they're much more likely to be asymptomatic or have really mild cases that may look as serious as any other cold that's out there. There's a little data showing some unusual inflammatory type of conditions that has been in the news lately. But again, let's remember the number of children that have been hospitalized with COVID-19 or died is a very small number when you consider it in context of really this all people in society or of other threats to kids' health that have always been around.
So certainly concern for our children's health, but really especially concerned that they could pick it up and bring it home to other people who are immunocompromised or older. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know, and that actually was really the thinking behind some of the early closings of early childhood centers as well as schools was less of a concern that children themselves would come to harm, but they may easily bring it home to adults or siblings or others who may be at higher risk. And let's remember, while it's easy to say, oh, you know, it's only high-risk adults or something like that, that's actually an awful lot of people when you start counting throughout society. So it was really more of a public health kind of population level concern, more than a deep concern about the health of kids themselves being deeply affected.
Jessica, now that we have child care facilities back up and running, there are some precautions they should be taking because of the new coronavirus and that parents and guardians should take too. What should drop-off look like these days?
Yeah, so drop-off is going to look a little bit different these days. Previously, when children would arrive, the parents would bring children directly to their classroom or into a child care provider's home. So I should preface, there are two different types of child care programs. One is a center-based or a commercial site, and another is a home-based. So some of the precautions are going to look the same in those types of facilities, and some of those things are going to look different. So parents need to take that into consideration as well. But drop-off and arrival and departure are going to look different in that parents may not be entering a home-based program anymore or even their child's classroom. If the classroom has direct access to the outside, parents may be walking their children to the classroom via the outdoors, say their goodbyes, and then the child will go into the classroom and the parent will stay outside. If that's not the case for a facility, there are a couple of measures that have been taken. Some programs are doing staggered drop-off and pickup times. So parents say, well, I'm going to come at 7:15, and then the next family might come at 7:25. And that's to limit the number of families that are coming in contact with each other. What also may be happening is that parents will either wait in the lobby or in their car, and a teacher or staff member will take the child back to their classroom.
What about hand washing? It's always been important in childcare settings, whether that's home-based or a commercial daycare center. What should caregivers be doing in addition to the usual?
Sure. So Some things that we've been seeing now are upon arrival for teachers and children, hands are being washed right away. Of course, you have your usual times after diapering, toileting, before and after meals and things like that. But now as soon as children arrive and teachers arrive, they're getting those hands washed to prevent any germs from the outside from coming into the program. We're also seeing additional hand washing anytime noses are blown or we're touching our hands or our faces or if we're touching something that could be contaminated, making sure that we're getting our hands cleaned.
And Dr. Navsaria, another thing that we have sometimes seen in some settings is mask wearing. We know that it can protect other people from encountering some of the germs that come from the person who's wearing the mask. What would you want to see as far as masks when it comes to childcare?
So I think masks in childcare can be a challenge. So certainly we know that masks decrease transmission if you yourself have the virus or decrease the risk that you might contract it from someone else if they have the virus. So if both sides of the equation, so to speak, are masked, then that does help drop the risk, particularly when you're indoors in confined spaces and things of that nature. So kids that are under two should not be wearing masks. It's really easy for them to possibly get it caught somewhere or have problems with air supply, et cetera, if they're sleeping in turn. And certainly anyone who's sleeping shouldn't have a mask on. I think that we also need to remember that it's really hard for people to keep masks on, and it's even harder for children. I see many examples walking around sometimes of adults. The mask is down below their nose. It doesn't fit very closely and so on. So I think we should think about doing masks, but we should also be extremely patient and recognize that we're putting a pretty large burden on the caregivers, on the early childhood educators, if they have to be continuously being the mask police, so to speak. That can be very wearing for everyone involved.
Dr. Dipesh Navsaria is a pediatrician. We're talking with him and also with Jessica Bowden, who consults on early childhood for a nonprofit called 4C. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234, wondering what you want to know right now. Maybe your circumstance is that you have a choice whether your child goes to daycare. What are you weighing? Or maybe your child is already in some sort of care while you go to work or have to care for someone else in your family. Tell us what your situation is like. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Dr. Navsaria, though, the other element of masks is that some kids can be scared by them. So there may just even be interaction challenges if everyone is in a mask in a daycare setting.
There certainly can be, although kids do acclimate pretty quickly. I also think that it's okay when a child comes in, maybe on that first day back or something like that, for a teacher particularly that they've known before, right, to pull the mask down briefly and to say, hey, look, it's me, right, just to kind of, you know, allow for that moment of recognition. And I think that's okay. The other thing is that parents can do some prep work to help their children understand what they might be encountering. I think most kids have been asking, you know, why can't I play with my friends? Why can't we see grandma or grandpa or, you know, things like that. There's a number of books on coronavirus. And if you just Google coronavirus books for children, there's articles that summarize some of the best ones out there that help them understand in a developmentally appropriate way that it's not that your teacher or your friends don't love you anymore. It's not that they, you know, are scared of you, etc. That there's some things that will be possible and some things that won't be possible, but there's other ways to show that connection. And I think that can also be very important in helping them just prepare for what they're going to see because it will be different from what they expected.
Yeah. Jessica, how would you recommend daycare workers or people who run in-home childcare talk specifically about those little things like masks or hand washing that are really important, but that are kind of small changes that we're going to have to see?
Yeah, so really being honest with children and letting them know that we need to wear masks, answering children's questions honestly, and then inviting them to ask questions. You can ask them, and it, of course, it depends on the age of the child, and we want to keep that developmentally appropriate. but allowing for that safe place for children to ask the questions. Once you ask them something, give a moment of pause, wait for 10 seconds for them to answer so that they can process what question was being asked and they can formulate an answer. Make sure, too, that you're providing that safe space for them to share. And reading books, especially for those really, really young children who don't quite know what's going on, they know there's something different and they're not sure what that is. If a child asks you a question and you don't know the answer, it's okay to not know, and it's okay to say that you don't know. It's also okay to talk about feelings at this point. This is a really good time to work on some of that emotional development. We want to reassure, we want to make sure that children are feeling okay, but it's okay if there is some of that uncertainty or there's some fear. And helping children recognize that there are a lot of feelings that we can feel, but those feelings can change from time to time and they aren't necessarily permanent. We may see, too, that children are acting out in different ways when they have some of those fears or those feelings that they can't quite verbalize. So we may see some things like extra crying or clinginess or just having a hard time following directions, some challenging behaviors like that. So providers can take that with a grain of salt and work directly with parents so that children are getting communication that it aligns with home and with childcare, and they're not getting mixed information.
We're talking about what questions to ask about coronavirus concerns when we're getting ready to send children back to daycare, when they're in daycare, and how to talk to kids about what's going on. Jessica Bowden is a certification specialist and early childhood technical consultant at the nonprofit 4C. We're also talking with pediatrician Dr. Dipesh Navsaria, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is your child going to daycare, or are you getting ready for a return? What concerns do you have? What questions are you asking? Maybe you're a child care provider. How have you changed your procedures, and how hard has that been? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We're learning more from our guests as this conversation continues. Maybe hear from you. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Right now, we're talking about how to make sure that your child care provider is taking the right precautions to avoid spreading the new coronavirus and how to share that information with kids without scaring them when they don't need to be scared. We're talking with Jessica Bowden, a certification specialist and early childhood technical consultant, and we're also speaking with pediatrician Dr. Dipesh Navsaria. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Share your experience with us during this conversation. We've got Katie from Clinton ready to join in. Hi, Katie.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had a comment. Are the face shields something that could be used in place of the mask? That way the little ones can actually see the face of the caregiver or the teacher. They can see smiles. They're a little, it's not quite as scary as a mask.
Katie, thank you for that question. And Dr. Navsaria, are face shields as effective or a good idea right now in childcare settings?
That's a great question, and you're not the first person who's asked me that. So we don't have great data on whether face shields are as effective as masks. Obviously, they sit in front of the face a little bit. There's some air that can get around. But will they actually reduce spread, much of direct spread if someone coughs or sneezes near you, or things like that? They certainly could. There are, by the way, masks that have clear areas that are constructed specifically for those who may need to, who lip read and so on. They are much more expensive, so I also worry about early childhood centers sinking money into that at a time when they're already financially under immense stress. I will add that I saw a young child in clinic who, of course, I had a mask and a face shield on. The face shield is to protect the outside of the mask in my eyes. And this is a six-month-old. And, you know, at the end of the visit, I did all my usual laughing, you know, tickling their feet, et cetera. And even when I wasn't touching them and doing the tickling, I still had a lovely social interaction with this child, and there was giggling back and forth and all the things, even though they could only see my eyes. So I do think that being able to see faces is important, but I think there's also many ways in which we as human beings convey things to one another. So hopefully we have better data on the face shield question down the road there. It's just not as clear as we'd like to be yet.
All right. Thank you so much, Katie, for the call. We are taking your calls at 800-642-1234 as we talk about child care, as we reopen, as we have more people back to work and needing child care beyond those critical workers. And we've got Kathy from Wisconsin Dells on the line now. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
What's your experience been like?
My comment is that I have 2 4-and-a-half-year-old girls, and I made it a positive experience. So I made sure to, hey, this is how we're going to protect our friends, our family, when we go see them. And I made sure that the masks that I bought for them, they got to pick out, and it's Disney characters. So it made it kind of like an exciting accessory versus something to fear.
Oh, Kathy, thanks so much for sharing how you've handled it with your girls. Jessica, Kathy, they're saying, got to make it a positive experience. Is that what you'd recommend to parents?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. So, yes, the pandemic is scary, but we set the emotional tone for our children. So if we're walking around scared and tense and anxious, children are going to pick up on that, and that's going to be their response. But if we do like Kathy did, and we make this a fun, positive experience, or parts of it can be fun and exciting, getting to choose the mask, talking about keeping our friends safe, even as far as something challenging, like bringing a favorite loved item to a child care center. While that may not be a great idea, some programs are allowing children to choose one item to bring, a comfort object that they can keep at the center for the week that then goes home and get washed. So working with child care programs and your providers to say, how can we make this more of a positive experience? Can my child bring something special to the program with them? Can they choose a special mask if a mask is required at the program?
Oh, how interesting. We've got Jessica Bowden with us, who consults on early childhood for a nonprofit called 4C. And we're also talking with Dr. Dipesh Navsaria, who's a pediatrician, and we're taking your calls. Kevin from Waukesha has a question for us. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. We just have a concern about, we have a three-year-old who should be entering 3K this fall, first time going to school, and normally I probably wouldn't be concerned. However, I'm on a medicine that is an immunosuppressant, and we have a newborn coming in July. So should there be anything we can be concerned with him bringing home that could potentially be an issue for us?
Kevin, thanks for the question. And Dr. Navsaria, Kevin is highlighting an issue we all experience, that households are different and different people might have different risks.
So the first thing I'll say is that should probably be a conversation that you have with your own doctor about your own condition and the medication you're on and the dosages you're on and all, and how much of a level of concern that needs to be, because that is so individual. I'll also add that if we were having this conversation last year at this time, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or any other year, there's a lot of viruses that kids bring home from early childhood centers, because that is actually one of their jobs. The immune system develops its long-term memory from being exposed to all these viruses, so kids kind of need to do that. So I think the question is, will this particular virus, is the risk high enough that you would need to alter your plans? Again, that's a conversation to have with your healthcare provider.
And Dr. Navsaria, though, certainly, though, the recommendation being stay 6 feet apart is not how it works for kids.
Hey, that if you can keep kids consistently 6 feet apart, that would be a miracle.
Right. let's fit in one more caller here. Reggie from Oshkosh wants to talk with us. Hi, Reggie.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
My kids are homeschooled, and so staying home hasn't really affected them much, except for all their social activities have been canceled. But the way we keep them socially distancing and wearing their masks is their ninja masks, and we have to be sneaky so we can keep them away from other people. So okay. I don't know if that'll help other people out.
Aha, interesting. Reggie puts on a ninja mask. Jessica, this is the kind of thing you have to figure out how old your kids are, what they can handle, and really connect with them and help them that way, right?
Yeah, for sure. So if your children are old enough to participate in some of that pretend play, that is a great way to encourage your child to wear a mask and make it more of a positive experience versus something that's scary. Maybe the mask is a ninja mask or a superhero mask, and you're keeping yourself safe and you're keeping others safe, and that's your superhero power. So keeping that developmentally appropriate is a great way to do that.
How interesting. Thanks for the call again, Reggie, as we are talking with our guests about dealing with childcare. And Dr. Navsaria, one other thing people have been mentioning is taking temperatures. We've got Dave on Facebook who says daycare workers should be COVID tested twice weekly every week. What would your recommendation be when it comes to temperature taking, and what should we be looking for?
So temperature taking simply highlights that there may be an infection. It doesn't tell us what kind of infection, doesn't tell us that they're even infected, but it can be an early screen in case that's the case. I will also add, and this is a challenge for childcare centers that are often small businesses and don't have a lot of backup, but if your staff feel at all ill, they shouldn't be coming to work. Now, I also recognize that creates problems for the center, and it also may create problems in terms of their pay and so on. But we need to try to figure out a way to back up early childhood centers so that staff aren't coming to work sick because they feel they have to work or they need the income and have no other route. As for repeatedly testing people, the problem is that there's still windows of time that they could still be test negative and still have an issue. And possibly be still about to develop symptoms and so on. So it's not necessarily as much of a panacea as we'd like it to be.
Mm. Lots of questions. Got some of them answered here. Dr. Navsaria, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And Jessica, we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Jessica Bowden is a certification specialist and early childhood technical consultant at the nonprofit 4C, Coordinated Community Child Care in Madison. She has a bachelor's in early childhood education and worked as a child care director for 2 years. And Dr. Dipesh Navsaria is an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, and he's president of the Wisconsin chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics.